Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with our double exit interview Monday special here on the podcast. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving weekend. Pretty quiet weekend over at my house. Very excited to be back at work here today because we have exit interviews coming up with both the people who went out in the Thanksgiving Eve special. So we will be speaking with Chris and Gen X Jessica here today. And then Jordan Kalish is even going to stop by for dessert as we do our This Week in Survivor History quiz coming up all in one special. Of course, that we had our Survivor Know-It-Alls with Stephen Fishback on the night before Thanksgiving. I was really fired up. Loved this episode this week. Loved both hours of the show, and there was so much to talk through with Stephen. And then on Black Rock Friday, I got a hold of Tyson, and then we had a three-hour Tyson cast talking about all this stuff. Both those shows are up on robhasawebsite.com. As you're listening today, of course, it is Cyber Monday, as they call it. Lots of great deals going on Amazon.com today and all week long. They're calling it Cyber Monday Deals Week. If you want to check out what's going on and see all of the special offers that they have, and they put new stuff up for a couple hours and they take it down, just go ahead and check out what they have to offer. You can use our link, robhasawebsite.com/Cyber Monday, or for the Amazon homepage, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. In Canada, it's robhasawebsite.com/Amazon CA. We've also got our RHAP Bell shirts back up for a limited time. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/Bell shirts. Check that all out as you listen to the podcast today. It looks like that we have Chris here with us first on the line, so let's go ahead and patch him in. Chris, are you there?
Hey, Rob, how's it going?
Boomer.
Sooner.
Did I do that right?
That's right. You did it perfect.
Chris.
That's how it goes.
How's it going, buddy?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
Chris, really, it was an unfathomable sequence of events that kicked off this two-hour Survivor the other night. I did not see this coming. I guess you didn't either. But Chris, these Gen Xers, I thought you guys were going to be the mature ones who were going to be able to just pick off these millennials.
No, early on, especially the Paul vote, I realized, I was like, these people are going to backstab us all the way through. So I agree. I thought we would be able to stay tight, but it wasn't the case. The millennials were a little more trustworthy.
Yeah, well, Chris, it was one of the millennials in particular in Zeke who, right after the swap, you guys ended up having this great relationship, this great bond. And I said, okay, this is maybe like the power couple of the season. And then ultimately it was Zeke who turned on you to go in the other direction. And maybe by the end of the second hour, he regretted that after he ended up in so much hot water with that side. But how big of a surprise was it for you to have Zeke turn on you in that way?
No, it's a total shocker, Rob. I mean, Zeke turning on me was the last thing on my mind. I thought we have the numbers. I even felt Dave was going to come with us on the Jess vote because we had so much of an advantage. And when Zeke, I mean, it took me about halfway down the ramp, down the dark tunnel there, and I go, oh my God, it was Zeke and Hannah flipped on me.
Just getting back to this idea about the Gen Xers working together, you know, it's you in the episode, though, that's saying, all right, now the move, we got to get rid of Jessica. But you guys had six Gen Xers strong and, you know, could have run the table with a Gen X trust cluster. Why wasn't that on the table for you?
Well, I felt like, hey, Dave and I were closer than the show looks, but Dave was going to go after me eventually. I mean, I knew I was going to go after Dave. And Dave, his trust cluster was Ken and Jess and kind of Adam. And the hub of that, the common denominator, in my opinion, was Jess. Jess is close to Ken. She's close to Dave. She's close to Adam. And if we remove her, Dave has no choice but to kind of cling back to Chris. Hey, come on, let me back in. And then Ken and Adam, I mean, what are they going to do at that point? I felt that she was key to just go ahead and remove her. And it didn't. And quite honestly, I did have a little bit of a grudge. I still wanted to get her out because of the Paul vote. but I felt like she was the right move at that point. And I had the numbers, regardless of Dave's thoughts or opinions. I had the numbers until Zeke stabbed me in the back.
Chris, why was the Paul vote such a pivotal moment in this season? Because it just seemed like that the whole thing was a big misunderstanding. He misspoke in the way that he ended up saying that the guys were going to work together. I don't think that's what he actually meant. That's what he said to Jessica. Why couldn't anybody get past that?
You know, I think it was just that what happens next, we probably could have gotten past it because the next vote, we majority-wise felt like that it was the wrong move to vote Paul out. We wanted Paul at the merge. He would have been a shield for us all because people would have gotten annoyed with him possibly and so on and so forth. But Jess, the next vote is really what ended the Gen X Alliance, in my opinion, when we all, a majority, want to vote Jess out because of the Paul vote. Dave plays his idol. I think that ruins all trust. We had a chance where Dave, if he saves his idol there, there's like 6 out of 8 of us voting for Jess. And we might have at that point said, hey, we're back together. We're a team. We're back on the same page. And maybe it even brought Ken and I back together. So I think when Dave played that, it just destroyed all hopes of Gen X staying together.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about was your relationship with Ken. Did you have any relationship with Ken from that point on?
You know, Ken and I mean, right off the bat, we're kind of cut from the same cloth. It was, you know, I mean, he shook my hand and said, we're a team. We actually had an alliance. But it was broken very quickly. Ken, I felt this uncomfortable ease within hours, maybe within like 4 or 5 hours, that he was moving more towards CeCe and Rachel. And really, it was really awkward because Paul, myself and Brett and Ken were tight. And then all of a sudden it was just gone. And so from that point on, he kind of kept at arm's length away from us and really didn't want to talk to us about anything.
So once you got to the swap tribe with David and CeCe, obviously you guys voted out CeCe on that first vote. But between you and David over those next however many days until the merge, how close were you guys able to get? Was there any trust there?
I thought there was. I thought there was a certain amount of trust and respect to move forward in the game. We had every move we made from that point forward, Dave and I spoke separately. We talked it through. We discussed options. And I felt like it was a good bond. But I also knew he was going to come after me. I should have just taken him out at the swap, and it would have been better for me in the end.
Instead of CeCe.
Hindsight. Instead of CeCe, yeah.
So why was it CeCe instead of David at that point? Because Michelle was making the case about, hey, it should be David.
Right. It should have been David. But at that point, I felt like CeCe was, like, say we would have lost another challenge, another immunity. I felt CeCe would completely roll on me. And I felt uncomfortable being in that position. I felt Dave would hold on to me for dear life until the merge. And that was the deciding factor. I just felt like it was, if I took Dave out, then I was gambling that we didn't go back to tribal. And I didn't feel comfortable with that considering the team I had, even though it ended up, the new was pretty good.
And did you know that David had an idol at that point?
I did not know that David had the idol. We all suspected and kind of were like, you know, he knew where to look and that kind of thing. But when we were all out looking, you know, I kind of hawk-eyed him for a long time. And I thought, there's no way anybody found it before we left the beach for the swap. So, but I didn't know.
I want to know about your relationship with Brett in the game, because it seemed like from very early on, you guys were close friends. Obviously, he has that moment in the episode this past week with Zeke where he comes out to him. And I would love to know if you guys had any of those conversations on the island as well.
I did not know. Brett and I were as close as you could be on the show, but I did not know that he was gay until after the show was over. He, you know, talking to Brett after the show, he just felt like he didn't know how I would react. He, you know, Oklahoma boy, big macho athlete kind of guy. And what's funny is I'm 10 times more liberal than the gay cop from Boston. You know, he's actually like a conservative, mm-hmm. and which is kind of funny. But he just feared that. And at that point, I think he felt like he needed to do something with Zeke to solidify his position because I was gone at that point.
So in the previous episode, there was so much talk at Tribal Council about Adam and the advantage that he had to steal the rewards. Was that something that was talked about a lot back at camp after that Tribal Council, or was it not actually that big of a deal in your mind?
It wasn't that it wasn't as big a deal in my mind, but it was spoke. It was talked about openly when we got back from tribal, and there was the pros and cons were told to Adam. And, you know, I would not have wanted that advantage. I would have either told everybody up front or just given it away or bargained it away some form or fashion. But boy, you talk about a dangerous advantage. You could really make some enemies with that.
And what was Adam's sort of spin on why it wasn't that big of a deal back at camp? Did he continue trying to like downplay it, or was it just basically talked about at Tribal Council and that was it?
No, I think he obviously tried to downplay it, its usefulness and how he might use it. But again, we all are, I think everybody's opinion was be careful because you literally could end up getting yourself kicked out of the game. I mean, over a cheeseburger or a family visit or whatever, mm-hmm. people would take that pretty harshly if they got a reward taken away from them.
Now, I would imagine that you were in the camp of people that were not thrilled with Taylor after he stole the big stash of food in the mason jars and went out and had his own private pantry.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it was more about, you know, stealing the food and all that, you know, it happens and whatnot. It was more about just how at tribal, he just wouldn't shut up about it. You know, it's like, he's like, almost like, guys, let me off the hook. Look what I just did. This is such a great move. And I was just sitting there going, Taylor, you're going home because of it now, because you won't shut up.
Yeah.
You know, I think he talked himself into getting voted off.
Well, what became of that stash after that Tribal Council? Did you guys go and dig it up after that?
I honestly, it seems like somebody went and dug it up eventually or found it, but I honestly don't even remember. After that, we were just kind of laughing about the tribal because it was just so funny how, you know, Taylor's big idea was to, you know, dime Adam out on this advantage, but it was kind of like, okay, so what? I wouldn't have told anybody I had the advantage until I was going to use it or something either. I wouldn't have told everybody anyways. Why would you?
Well, Taylor's partner in crime on all of this was Jay, and then there's so much talk about Jay between that, and then Jay has an idol that Will confided in with Zeke that about the idol that Jay had. And so there was so much talk about Jay with the idol. I mean, was it ever a real consideration for you guys to say, we know where the idol is, we could flush it out, we have the votes? Did that plan really ever get any traction?
Yeah, no, I think the problem with the Taylor vote was somebody, and heck, maybe even myself, made Jay feel too safe there, so he didn't play his idol. Then on my vote, I can't believe he didn't play it on my vote, because that was the game plan, is vote Jess off, but force Jay to flush the idol so that he would be, you know, vulnerable at that point. And I can't believe he didn't play it right then. That was just, you know, that was big balls in Cowtown right there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
So at Ponderosa, in the Ponderosa videos, you know, you come clean to Taylor and to Michelle there about how that your background is actually that you're a lawyer. Then in comes Jessica in her Ponderosa video. She's like, hey, guys, I have something to tell you. I'm actually a lawyer. And you and Jessica were at loggerheads during this whole game for the most part. Do you feel like that? Is there anywhere, you know, sort of like a Cops R Us type thing where if you guys might have both known that you were lawyers, that maybe it would have been able to cement a bond between you two?
You know, possibly, but she's on such an opposite spectrum of what I do. You know, she's a DA, a district attorney. She puts people in jail. I try to keep innocent people out of jail, or at least give, you know, young men a chance not to go to prison. Or I'm on the plaintiff side of things when I'm suing people for, you know, their injuries. So I'm on this very opposite side of her, but I do feel like my hiding the fact that I was a trial lawyer hurt me in the game, because I think it, I had to hide pieces of me that were probably good pieces I should have shown in the game.
So one of the things that I need to know about, Chris, is that you talked about in the, that Ponderosa video that you did something very unusual in your video to help get you on Survivor. And I think that people probably are going to be have a lot of questions about this. Could you talk about what you did in your audition video?
Sure. I the main part of it is I went out in my backyard and I literally took my iPad. I flipped it around. So, you know, it's filming me. And I said, this is my backyard. This is my dog, Jake. This is my dog, Jake's poop. And I picked up the piece of dog poop and I took a big bite of it right on camera. And then it's all in my teeth. I turned the, you know, I looked into the camera and I said, I just ate shit to be on Survivor.
Yeah.
And, at the end of the day, I'm not sure anybody's ever done that. So,
and you think it helped?
I think it did. I mean, how does that not catch your eye? You know,
I don't know.
I mean, or something.
Chris, I don't know if I would have made you my winner pick if I would have known that piece of information.
you'd be like, this guy is probably insane.
Yeah, I think I would have said, you know what, I'm out. I'm out. Give me somebody else after that.
Man, it was awful.
Chris, it was looking good there for a while. It really was. Sad to see you go, but you know, best of luck with everything else. And yeah, hope to see you at the finale. Okay.
Okay. Appreciate it, Rob.
All right, take care, Chris. All the best. Bye.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. There you have it. Chris ate dog poop to get on Survivor. I don't know why. I don't really know what the correlation is, but he wanted it badly. He wanted to be there. And there you have it. So people will go to great lengths. I normally tell people not to do stunts like that to get on Survivor. But I think that, hey, look, I feel like they've probably seen it all, but maybe that was one that they had not seen. And so there you go. And I do apologize to anybody who might have been listening to the exit interview over lunch. So hopefully we don't have anything as unpleasant to talk about other than losing Survivor on a rock draw with our next guest joining us here on the exit interview. Of course, let's bring in the great Gen X Jessica. Jessica, are you there?
Hey, Rob, how are you?
Jessica, forget about me. How are you?
I'm okay. I've had about 6 months to process all of this, so I think I'm doing okay.
Okay, well, let's just talk about this but forget strategy. I just want to hear from you in terms of just the emotions of going through this experience. Obviously, you look very distressed during this whole tribal council. You ultimately pull this rock, and then could you just take us through your thought process as this is all spiraling out of control?
It was pure insanity. And having to process so much in such a short period of time and with so many things happening all at once. And I know that you've been there, so you've experienced how difficult tribal councils can be to begin with. But having people yelling at each other, having people getting angry with each other, making accusations about people, whispering, and all of these things happening at once, it was just insanity. And it was really unnecessary because we all ended up voting the way that we had walked in there and planned on voting anyway. So, you know, just to add to the craziness of it was completely unnecessary. But having that experience, I think, made it so much more difficult to think clearly in the moment, because there are things that I might have said that I didn't say. But at that moment, everything that was being said was almost harmful to your game, because mm-hmm. everything that people were saying was really in that moment so meaningful. And so you almost had to hold back and not say certain things, because in my head I'm thinking, between Zeke and Hannah, who are you beating in the final three ultimately? And you know, as far as where I thought Zeke and Hannah's gameplay was at, Zeke was much more threatening moving forward in the game. So in my head I'm thinking, Zeke is right now winning this game. As David is pointing out to everybody, he's got to go. But everyone had dug in their heels at that point, and there was no convincing anyone of anything different at that point.
So let's just go back through heading to Tribal Council that day. Is the plan on the beach at that point that everybody knows it's going to be a 5-5 tie, and that potentially the plan is David has an idol, we'll cancel out the votes from their side, and then our numbers will win the day?
that was the hope. I think that David would play the idol correctly, but we also weren't really sure where Zeke was at, because Zeke was a little all over the place. And I know that he had had multiple conversations with myself. He'd had conversations with Hannah. He had had conversations with pretty much everybody. So there seemed to be a lot of unknowns walking into it. My name had come up. Ken's name had come up. David's name had come up. So there was a lot of unknowns. I didn't know that Hannah thought that she was on the chopping block and that conversation happened with David. So I think there was, walking into it, none of us really knew what was going to happen. We had an idea that it was probably going to be 5-5, but we were hoping that maybe something different was going to come out of it. Maybe someone had decided that we weren't going to have a tie, and maybe the idol will be played correctly. So I think walking into tribal, that was the only tribal council that I walked into really just kind of thinking, I don't know what's going to happen, because everything still seemed so up in the air by the time we got there.
So after the first 5-5 vote, you have an opportunity to vote again, and you seem like you're seriously considering flipping your vote. How close did you ultimately come to flipping your vote from Zeke to Hannah on the revote?
Well, this is what I want to say to you, Rob, because I know that you and Stephen believe that it was too soon to go to Rocks. But here was the situation I was in. Did I want to go to Rocks? No. But did I know if I flipped that I would ultimately not have a chance of winning that game? Yes. And that was what it boiled down to me, or for me, was if I flip right now and make it to the final three, I will have people on the jury or sitting next to me that were willing to go to Rocks, and I wasn't. So how am I going to then prove to them that I'm the sole survivor, or should be the sole survivor, when I caved and flipped in a game that wasn't respecting flippers? The whole reason Hannah was being voted for was because she flipped on Zeke. The whole reason we were voting for Zeke was because he flipped on us. And you could see that in previous votes as well. If you flip, you weren't gaining respect. You were gaining people wanting to vote you out. So as much as I didn't want to draw rocks, I knew, yeah, if I flip right now and Hannah goes home, I stay in the game a little bit longer, but I don't win the game. And in my mind, if I'm going to the final three, I'm winning the final three. I'm not just going to finish for second or third or sixth or wherever I would have ended up. And so that's why I really ended up not flipping.
And I totally respect your position. And ultimately, you have a million times more information than some idiot like me or Steven sitting there watching this from home.
Oh, you're not. No, not idiots at all.
But
no.
I guess what we're looking at is there's just so much time left in the game. And we've seen so many crazy things happen where somebody is sort of dead in the water with 2 weeks to go and then ultimately come out on top. So that I totally understand the all-in move at that point, but then there's also the downside of what happens when it doesn't go your way. And you're not even necessarily assured that you're going to win the game if it goes your way. So why go out on a rock draw? I think that, but like, I certainly can understand why you would make that decision. We just have to talk about things in a vacuum when we do the podcast.
No, and I get that. And I think for me, though, for my game, I was not in a position where I could lose any more loyalty, because I already had lost loyalty in the beginning when the Paul vote occurred.
Sure.
So I had already lost loyalty there. And then if I'm going to lose loyalty again by flipping on the three people that I'm really solid with, which is Adam and Ken and David, then where do I fall as far as votes are concerned in the final three? I think out of everybody who was sitting there, there were other people that were in a much better position to flip that wouldn't have affected their game so much. But I think that Zeke was focusing on me flipping because he knew I was expendable. He knew that they'd already tried to vote me out the week before, or the tribal before, I should say, and that there was no love lost for me. I mean, people were not interested in keeping me around on the other side. So getting that target back on me would have been very easy for Zeke, just to say, listen, you know, you obviously don't want her in the game Sunday, or Brett. She's, you know, and she lost all loyalty she has to the people that she was with. So I'm an easy vote to get out soon.
Yeah.
So there were so many things that are going through my head. And just with the way that my game was going, I knew it was not going to work for me. So ultimately, I mean, it worked out for five people.
Right.
To stay. Not me, though.
Did you have a pitch for David in terms of who he should play the idol on, or did you not even open your mouth during the decision of who to play the idol for?
Honestly, I didn't have a pitch for him because I didn't know who was going to be voted for.
You didn't say, hey, I think the votes are coming for me.
Well, trust me, I wanted to. I did want to. But in that moment, there was so much chaos going on, and I didn't want to be the one that would tell him what to do, because David really, he played the idol for himself first.
Yeah.
And we just didn't see that. And so that was his decision. And I think that David went into that tribal wanting to be very aggressive and overly aggressive in hopes that they would vote for him and then he could play the idol on himself. But it didn't work out that way, obviously. And so the decision to switch it to Ken, I think, was based on the conversations we had heard earlier in the day and then what was going on at tribal council. So, yeah, I mean, I really didn't have a pitch at that moment because, God, if I had been wrong about that, too, that would have been terrible.
Jessica, how much did you feel indebted to David from when he played the idol earlier in the game? And was that going through your mind at all in like, I can't flip against David. He saved my life in the game. I owe him this to stick to his side during this revote.
Oh, absolutely. That's one of those moments that you don't expect to have in Survivor where he saved me. I would have gone home fourth and he ultimately saved me. So I knew moving forward, I had to be as loyal to David as I possibly could. I also knew I could never sit next to David in the final three because all he had to do was point at me and say, she'd be gone if it weren't for me. So there was that component of it in my head as well. But I knew that I couldn't lose his loyalty because of the response that would have, not only from David, but from the people that saw that, where this guy kept you in the game and you just cut him. I couldn't do that. And I learned so much about loyalty being out there and what it really means. And I just knew that I needed to continue to be loyal to him and the people that were in my core group in order to move forward.
Jessica, I watched your Ponderosa videos and you got your letters from home. And I couldn't help but notice that, is your daughter's name Hannah as well?
Yes.
And was that anything that sort of made you feel closer to her? And as she's saying to you, like, please don't flip against me. Did you have any special connection with Hannah because of that?
Boy, you're terrible because now you're making me get all weepy. It's weird because I didn't, even though her name was Hannah. And interestingly enough, I'm pretty sure Hannah and I share the same birthday. Mm-hmm. That, you know, Hannah from the show. But I think that my relationship with Hannah on the island was an interesting one because she and I got along very well. And we really did have some wonderful conversations, but she was a little, just kind of all over the place. And, you didn't always know where Hannah was coming from with some of the things that she did and some of the things that she said. She was very unfiltered. And so there was some, you know, yes, you share my daughter's name, but you don't necessarily share my daughter's personality. But it was interesting in that moment just to think that, you know, yes, that's forever, you know, Hannah is the name I didn't write down and Hannah is my daughter's name. But no, that didn't have any effect on my decision and my relationship I had with her. I mean, Hannah was a wonderful individual on the show and she and I did get along very well. But that decision ultimately boiled down to where my loyalties were at that moment.
So, Jessica, not only do you own this historic moment with The Rock here at the Final 10, but also you are the first person to ever own the Survivor Legacy Advantage, which you passed on to Ken. But I think a lot of people were curious that after David saved you at that tribal council way back when, that then you went to Ken and said, Ken, you know, I trust you so much. I'm going to give you this Legacy Advantage at the point that I go out of the game. And not to David. Why right. Ken, not David?
I love having these conversations with you. This was so much fun because I knew that I had David moving forward. David was not going to lose me in that game because I was a guaranteed vote for David because he knew he had my loyalty. And I was someone who he could sit next to in the final three and know that he could beat. So in David's world, that move was genius. it really was, because I basically became a fantastic shield and person to bring along with him. People were upset with me. They weren't upset with David. So I was someone that they might be focusing on instead of David. And then David knew that I would be loyal to him. So I needed to get Ken back. I wasn't worried about getting David, you know, keeping David on my side. I needed to get Ken on my side because I can't continue in this game with only one person on my side. So that's why I went to Ken, because I knew Ken was close with David. And I thought, once I get Ken back, well, then we'll have the three of us, and that's better than just two. And so that's why I went to Ken, and I needed to prove to Ken that he could trust me and that I should have believed him and not believed Sunday like I did, which they didn't show any of that. Mm-hmm. You know, that I ultimately picked Sunday over Ken, and I needed to get Ken back on my side. So that's why I promised it to Ken, so I knew that I would have him moving forward.
Okay, last thing. That you were voting with Sunday way back when, even to vote out Paul, but then it seemed like that there was a rift between you two, and we never really got an explanation of what was going on with you and Sunday. Why couldn't you guys get along?
You know, I really am not sure what happened there, because she and I from day one had said we were going to play together, and we were very close. The Paul vote was a group decision that she and myself and Lucy had made together and brought in other people. And it was a decision that we made. And I thought that it was going to be a decision moving forward that we would work together after that vote. And she had assured me that she would get Brett and Chris back on our side. That she said, I've got this. Don't worry about it. I'll bring them back over. But that's not what she did. Instead, she turned on me and allowed everyone to blame me and then get me voted out. And her explanation always was, I didn't have a choice because that's what they were doing. And so I had to vote with them. But that's not the way I was playing the game with Sunday. I was playing the game with Sunday like, you and I are going to move forward together, and then we're going to make decisions together and play this game. But that wasn't the case. So unfortunately for me, Sunday's relationship and my relationship pretty much died at that point. But I was never gunning for Sunday. I didn't see Sunday as a threat moving forward in that game. I was more concerned about the threesome between, you know, she and Brett and Chris and how strong that three were. But Chris was the most threatening out of that three. So out of that three, Sunday wasn't on my radar at all. It was Chris and then Brett and then Sunday. So I, you know, I'm not really sure why she just didn't let it be. I mean, I think that she and I could have done wonderful things in the game. I thought we were, but ultimately she chose Brett and Chris, and that was her decision, and that's fine.
I think Lucy put it out there. You were the mastermind, Gen X Jess. So many more things I have to ask you about, but I'll have to wait for another time. Anyway, all the best to you. Happy that you are feeling better about all of this. We thought that was a very funny post, the Craigslist thing, and all the best to you, okay?
Thank you so much, Rob. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care, Jess. Bye.
All right. Bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Gen X, Jessica, lots of good information there. And boy, there's a lot more that we could have gotten into. And I do hope that looking forward to at some point getting more clarity into everything that's going on here in this season. All right. So what we're going to do next is that we're going to get into the This Week in Survivor History quiz, which I recorded with Jordan Kalish over the weekend. So I'm going to play that for you, and then I'm going to come back and close everything out. And now, here's a man who was a witness firsthand to the drubbing that the Jets took at the hand of the Patriots. And I'm recording this before the game is even being played. Here is Jordan Kalish. Jordan, how are you?
I'm good. How do you know, Rob? The Jets might pull it out. Maybe they'll pull an upset.
I'm not going to need to re-record this.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yes. Okay. So do you have any words to make yourself feel better in the future after you witnessed a terrible Jets loss at the hands of the Patriots?
Yep. Better draft pick.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Jordan. So here we are, two exit interviews in the book here on this Marathon Exit Interview podcast. And now still we are going to play the This Week in Survivor History quiz. How was your Thanksgiving? Good?
It was great. How was yours?
Oh, very fun. Very fun. Just very quiet with the family, and then didn't have to really do anything else. That was good. Didn't have to go anywhere. That was the best part of it.
I actually had to go to Staten Island, which, you know, we left before the traffic. So I had a very Pete Davidson Thanksgiving, like he said he was going to have on SNL in Staten Island. But I had a great time, though.
Survivor Staten Island is the worst season yet of Survivor.
Yeah, I don't think they're ever going to film it. It would be a bunch of people yelling at each other from their driveways.
And a lot of conflict. All right, no, that's good. All right, so this week in Survivor History, the quiz, of course, I am rolling into this with what? I forget, 8 week streak?
Yes, this is week 10, right? So you lost the first one, but you've won every game since then.
Yes. So really on a roll here with this week in Survivor History quiz, and Jordan will test my wits once again. But before that, let me just take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are friends over at NatureBox, because Jordan, you know, a lot of people were very excited about the Trust Cluster this week, but it turns out that that is one of the few snacks that you can't get from NatureBox.
Oh man, I that's what I wanted though.
No, forget a Trust Cluster. How about a Pistachio Power Cluster?
Did you get a Black Rock Cluster?
No, there's no rocks in a NatureBox. You know, going to rocks is maybe not a smart decision, but getting NatureBox instead of junk food in your diet is, because you could start snacking healthier with NatureBox, because NatureBox makes snacks that actually taste great and are better for you. They don't come in mason jars, but they're created with high-quality ingredients, free from artificial colors, flavors, and sweeteners. Of course, I love the Pistachio Power Clusters, and in honor of Figgy, the whole wheat strawberry Figgy bars, me and Taylor, we both love those. NatureBox is making their service even better, Jordan. You can get as much as you want, anytime you want, without a minimum purchase. Cancel anytime. Just go to naturebox.com, check out the whole snack catalog, over 100 snacks to choose from, and they're constantly adding new ones. Any snacks you want, they deliver them right to your door. And with NatureBox, you'll never get bored. New snacks every month, inspired by customer feedback. And if you ever try a snack you don't like, how about this, Jordan? They replace it for free. Boom. Right now, save even more. NatureBox is offering our fans 50% off their first order when they go to naturebox.com/RHAP. That's naturebox.com/RHAP for 50% off the first order. naturebox.com/RHAP. All right, here we go, Jordan. Let's pick things up. Let the winning ways continue.
All right, Robin, the first place that we are going today is Survivor Pearl Islands. This episode is called The Great Lie, one of the greatest episodes in Survivor history.
Sure.
From November 26, 2003. And this is 13 years ago, this last Sunday. This is sort of last week in Survivor history, because you're going to be listening to this on Monday. But bear with us. Sorry, actually, it's 13 years ago this last Saturday.
Okay. I think everybody is pretty forgiving on the timeline.
Yeah, Thanksgiving week. That's what this week is. And when we pick up next week in Survivor history, it will actually be
on Thursday.
This week.
Yes. Okay.
All right. So question number one, Rob, would you like to use your point doubler on this question?
Sure.
All right. So, he's going with the point doubler. So this is a 2-point question.
Why not?
What does YOLO, right?
Yeah.
You're such a millennial.
Yeah.
What does Sandra say after Fairplay makes her husband walk the plank in the Loved Ones Reward Challenge? A, I told you he's a snake. B, it's all good. C, F you, John. D, I hope he doesn't get eaten by a crocodile, man.
All right, I'll use the 50-50.
He's going to use the 50-50. So we have A, I told you he's a snake, and B, it's all good.
Well, I have no idea. Really got myself into hot water. So it's A is what again?
A, I told you he's a snake, and B, it's all good.
I'll go with B, it's all good.
Rob, you are correct, and I'm surprised you struggled with that question, that you used both advantages on that question, because I thought it was one that you would have remembered from the episode.
Nope, did not have all the Sandra quotes committed to memory.
All right, well, this is one of Sandra's things where she looks at John, and she's the one, I think, who maybe doesn't believe John when he tells his dead grandma lie. But he made Thunder D walk the first step of the plank in that round, and that's why everyone sort of piled on Sandra, and her husband was the first one out of the game.
Mr. Sandra, yes.
Senor Sandra, yes.
Okay, all right, so good. 2 points in the bank. Ready to go.
You have 2 points, and you were 2 points away from winning the game. Question number two, what did Sandra and Tawana overhear when they followed Burton and Fairplay into the woods at night, which caused Tawana to turn on them? A, they said that Tawana needs to be voted out next because she's a threat. B, They said that they want to go to the final three with Dara because she's not a threat. C, they said that fair play will guarantee Tawana top two, but will really cut her at four or five. D, they said they don't trust Tawana and Dara.
Boy, so many of those things are similar. What is it again? What's A?
A, they said that Tawana needs to be voted out because she's a threat. B, they said they want to go to the final three with Dara because she's not a threat. C, they said that fair play will guarantee Tawana top two, but will really cut her at four or five. D, they said that they don't trust Tawana and Dara.
Boy, I feel like a lot of those options are not really mutually exclusive.
Well, it's one of Sandra's great moves, actually, and she does this in another episode, too, where she listens from the bushes. This is actually at night where they can't see her.
Yeah.
So the first one is...
I'll say A. I really feel like that a lot of those are very, very similar, Jordan.
All right. That Tawana needs to be voted out next because she's a threat. Unfortunately, they did not say that. They didn't want to get her out because she's a threat. They said that fair play will guarantee Tawana top two, but will really cut her out at four or five. So if the plan was for fair play to make a deal with her, but really to take her out at the final five.
Like a little nitpicky, that question.
I don't think so. I mean,
it was pretty much the same thing, but
it's a memorable conversation. And again, one of Sandra's signature things that she does on that season.
Sandra, did you think that was a memorable conversation?
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's pretty memorable. All right. But you still have 2 points and we're going to question number three. This is going to be the last Pearl Islands question. In the immunity challenge in which players had to make words found in the phrase Survivor Pearl Islands, who was awarded the necklace only to have it taken away when it was discovered that he spelled the word liaison incorrectly? Was it A, Burton, B, Fairplay, C, Dara, D, Lil?
Now you used the word he, but then
it's actually
also
he or she he in the question. She. I read okay. He, but it's he or she.
All right. The answer is A, Burton.
A, you are correct. It was Burton. They had to go to the videotape, and unfortunately, Burton didn't spell liaison right. He missed one of the I's, so they took the immunity necklace away from Burton, and Dara actually ends up winning immunity.
It's a crazy moment.
Yeah, it's very, very surprised. I'm actually surprised that they left it in the episode, but I kind of liked it.
Yeah, it's a NFL-style booth review.
Yeah, they had to call up to New York.
Yes, and then they reversed the call.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay.
Survivor was ahead of its time. It's before the MLB had instant replay. The NFL obviously had instant replay at that point.
Yes. Luckily, it was not Mike Carey making the call.
No, because then it would have been really, really boring. He would have gotten it wrong.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Boom. There we go.
All right. So now we're going to go. We're not going so long ago this time. We're going to Survivor Cambodia. This is the double Thanksgiving episode from Survivor Cambodia a year ago, 11/25/2015. Question number four. When people ask Keith Nail if Survivor is fun, he tells them, hell no. However, he does list some things that are fun. Which one of these things are not on his list? A, going on a cruise. B, going fishing. C, going tailgating. D, playing golf.
I know he says going on a cruise is fun. I'm pretty sure he says going fishing is fun. I don't recall him saying that going tailgating is fun. I feel like there was also a picture of him like at a like college football game recently. I don't think he said he was going tailgating.
Rob, you are correct. Congratulations. You have won the game. You have the 4 points needed, and you have 2 questions left. So congratulations. I love that quote. It's when the rain is coming down. That whole episode, that's the gastrointestinal distress episode. Really terrible weather. It's where they also had to draw the rocks in order to not compete in the challenge to get the rebuilt shelter. So very crazy episode with the weather there. And Keith gives one of the best confessionals at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
So very, very good job remembering that quote. And now we go to question number five.
Podcasting's fun.
Yeah, exactly. He should have said that.
Yeah.
And riding a tuk-tuk.
Sure.
Question number five. Before the tribal council in which Jeremy saves Stephen with the idol, who was most adamant in conversations with Jeremy that Stephen must be voted out? Was it A, Joe, B, Keith, C, Wentworth, D, Spencer?
Boy, see, this is a season where I have not done a rewatch yet, so I really only watched it one night that it was on, maybe right before I did a podcast about it. So what was the four options again?
It's Joe, Keith, Wentworth, and Spencer. And who is most adamant in conversations with Jeremy that Steven must be the one to be voted out?
I'll say A, Joe.
It was actually D, Spencer. Spencer has a conversation on the beach with Jeremy. Joe is there and he's kind of, you know, up in the air. It could be Steven or Sierra. He didn't really care. Spencer was really the one going after Steven. And he actually draws the RHAP podcast bell on his vote in this episode.
Yep. Yep. I do recall when Steven got voted out. It was very, very sad.
Very sad. But this is this one is actually, all three of these questions are actually from the first half of this episode. So it's where Steven was saved by Jeremy. I like to focus on the positive. The other one is hits too close to home for RHAP.
Okay.
And we are going to our last question. You had actually mentioned trust clusters already in this episode, and this is going to be a trust cluster related question. A year before the term trust clusters was invented by Hannah Shapiro, what similar cluster related term did Fishback use at tribal council to describe the various voting blocks?
Oh boy.
Was it A, clusters of power, B, clusters of votes, C, clusters of allegiances, D, idea clusters? So it was actually Fishback who first used clusters to describe voting blocks, by the way.
Say it one more time.
A, clusters of power. B, clusters of votes. C, clusters of allegiances. D, idea clusters.
Talk about unmemorable branding by Steven. I'll say B, what was it, clusters of votes?
Clusters of votes.
Yeah.
It was actually A, clusters of power was the was what he used to. It's really the same thing as voting blocks. It's really the same thing as trust clusters.
It's all the same.
And I think Brett Lavelle would be on my side here.
This trust cluster. Enough with this. Give me a break.
Yeah, give me a break.
Give me a break with these trust clusters.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Fishback said it first.
Okay, he did it.
He did. And congrats. You did it. You've won the game for 4 points. Not as many points as you usually have, but you did very well. You saved your streak, and you're gonna go on to
use my
episode.
Advantage as well.
You did use the advantage as well, and you didn't know that first question either, so it worked out.
Yeah. Not a stellar night. Not a night for my highlight reel.
No, but it's
but the
you know,
streak
win's
continues.
Win. It's going to be an ugly win, like the Jets probably will not have on Sunday. Whenever ready, watch the game. We're sort of time traveling in this one.
Yeah, a little bit. All right. Well, Jordan, time traveling is what we do here on the This Week in Survivor History Quiz. Thank you so much. You could follow Jordan on Twitter. He is at Jordan Kalish. I'll talk to you again on Thursday, buddy.
Yes, I'll talk to you guys Thursday.
All right, have a good week. Bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. That was our This Week in Survivor History segment with Jordan Kalish. Narrowly pulled this one out, much like the Patriots with the Jets. It was not the blowout that I expected. The Jets really had the Patriots on the ropes there, but in true Jets fashion, ultimately are losers there. Unlike myself, who is riding a winning streak into this Thursday with Jordan Kalish. All right, so that's going to do it for us here on the Exit Interview Podcast. Plenty more to come this week as we have our Wiggle Room, which is also up already on the website. Plus, I will be speaking with David Bloom at some point, plus plenty of BBOTT on the way, as well as we get into our So You Think You Can podcast finals on Monday night. We'll have Alex Willett joining us on the podcast, the BBOTT finale. I believe Jordan Parhar should be live on Thursday night. I'll be back again on Friday to talk about everything there. And of course, all of the Survivor back underway this week with Survivor Know-It-Alls on Wednesday night. The next Exit Interview on Thursday, we'll have Shireen on the recap and Mike Bloom on the voicemail. So another fun week of podcasting on the way. Of course, don't forget those Amazon Cyber Monday deals going on all week. Robs.website.com/Cyber Monday. And I didn't mention at the top of the show, but if you're still interested in one of the limited edition Survivor Know-It-Alls poster signed by myself and Stephen Fishback, you can check those out in our store. Go to robinsonwebsite.com/store. All right, everybody, have a good one. Looking forward to reading your comments on the Exit Interviews. Take care, everybody. Bye.